Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us and come and learn with us. And today we are joined by our very special friend, Alice Linehan from Texas. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Diane. How are you?
I am fine, and Miss Barbara Moore is here with us, Alice. I'm going to let her start the show. She always gets us on the right foundation. Hi, Miss Barbara.
Hi, Diana. Hi, Alice. It's just such a pleasure to announce that today is the birthday of one of our great founding fathers, William Penn. He was born on this day in the year of our Lord, 1644. And I made a post about it this morning because it is what he's written is just so applicable to today and what we're experiencing. You know, he did some of his best writing when he was imprisoned in the Tower of London some five times. Most of the time it was for defending freedom of conscience that he was there in the Tower of London. And he wrote, "True godliness doesn't turn men out of the world, but it enables them to live better in it and excites their endeavors to mend it." And I thought, how appropriate. True godliness excites our endeavors to mend the world. You know, I admire and appreciate William Penn for so many different reasons, one being of his love and respect for the Indians, and there was peace between, there was peace there in Pennsylvania, the colony he founded, for 70 years. And he had such a great respect for them that any time an Indian was charged with a crime in the colony of Pennsylvania, there would be half of the jurors selected had to be Indians. And I think that speaks volumes for his sense of true justice and fairness. And there's so much more. But anyway, I just love, absolutely love him, and love to be able to share just a little bit about him today, because, you know, I don't think that he's studied as he should be studied in today's world. And, you know, the other thing that I need to mention particularly is he believed that Christians could work together. He founded the colony, Pennsylvania, for religious freedom, and he advertised all over Europe for people of goodwill and Christian people to come, regardless of their denomination. So there were all many Protestants, Catholics, and Jews from all over the country who worked together in his holy experiment of self-government and living the Christian life. So it's a message for today. And what we're facing, Christians must work together. And when we do, we can accomplish great things. What we need to accomplish when Christians, when we, the body of Christ works together. So let's pray together to start our show. Our dear Heavenly Father, how good it is, Father, for brethren to dwell in unity. Your word tells us that. And I pray that, Father, I pray for mending within the body of Christ, the mending not differences, Father. I know that we will retain different thoughts, Lord, but Father, that we will see the good in one another and will support and encourage one another in our walk with you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for this time, and we thank you for Alice. We are just so grateful for her, Father, that she would come and give up her time and her wealth of knowledge to share with us, Father. We ask your blessing upon her, upon all her loved ones. Father, protect her and provide for her in every way. Let your blessings flow, O Lord, upon her. And, Father, all those warriors in the field who are working so hard to protect our children, and, Father, to provide, Father, for freedom, Father, that freedom would be continued in this country and for future generations, Father, freedom. And we pray this in the mighty and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Ms. Barbara, thank you for that. That was awesome. And we're so grateful for the state of Texas, Ms. Barbara. I just think of David Barton. You know, we're looking forward to, you know, when he comes. We're just so grateful for Alice. And, you know, one of the things that Alice has said that just reminds me, you know, Texas is really so very important when you look at, you know, how it helps the way things go for this nation. You know, you think about the population of Texas, and, you know, it's such a wonderful conservative state, and we have got to partner with Texas to help them maintain that, just like Alice and them, you know, really partners with the rest of us, because I see, Alice, where you're fixing to invest, you know, we're just thanking God that you spend the time with us, but I see where you're fixing to go to, I think, did I see South Carolina in this month?
Yes, yes. I am partnering with my good friend Lisa Benson out of Arizona, and we are heading to South Carolina, and we will be there on October 22nd and 23rd. On the 22nd, I'm excited. We've got an event. We're doing basically an education summit on Common Core, but what's unique about this, Lisa Benson is a national security expert, policy expert. She's got a radio show out of Arizona, the Lisa Benson for National Security Show, and we are connecting the dots between Common Core and national security, that in allowing this into our nation, a dumbing down and a desensitizing of our children of the true threats that we face worldwide, it is a national security threat. So we are on the 22nd. She and I will be speaking along with actually our good friend Pat Goodell, who is, you know, it's kind of funny for me to have a friend like Pat Goodell, who is a Democrat. And worked in the Carter administration. But Pat Goodell is a dear friend and has been a real mentor to me in understanding the mindset of the left and how they battle. And I can tell you that he is on so many issues on our side. He is, you know, the Democrats of the Kennedy Democrats, if you will, would probably be, you know, Republicans today. And so we have to partner with people like that and who know the inside of how these political games are played and how to take them on. So we'll be speaking with Pat Goodell, and we're going to be launching our Can I See campaign that we've got started here in Texas and hoping to take it from state to state. But basically, it's kind of like Ted Cruz, our hero from Texas, did the Make DC Listen with the hashtag. We want to make the Can I See hashtag go viral, and basically calling on moms and dads across this nation to go into the classroom and say, "Can I see? Can I see the curriculum, and can I see what you're teaching my child? Can I see what technology you're exposing my child to? Can I see when my child takes a test and you record that data into your computer, can you show me the flow chart of where that data goes?" And a wonderful teacher here in Texas who is on our conference calls a lot, makes a good point. She said questions sometimes are more powerful than information. And so when we go in and we say, can I see, where's the research behind Common Core? Where is the curriculum piloted, and may I see the documented outcome? Where are the minutes from the meeting where teachers and parents were consulted about this curriculum? And can I see the comments from that? Can I see, where do I go about organizing a parent committee that will report directly to you, the administration, and the school board? And so sometimes we inundate ourselves with so much information that when we go to question those people in education, we just bombard them with information instead of asking them the questions. So that's what we're up to in South Carolina, and then we'll be going into Arizona, and we'd be happy to come in to anywhere, to Alabama, Georgia,
oh, wow,
everywhere.
To Alabama, too. Well, Ms. Barbara,
yeah.
I know I love what she said, and it just reminded me of something, Alice, that Ms. Barbara did. She dared to question he was a city school superintendent, if I remember right, Ms. Barbara. And he became famous all over the state.
She
dared to question some of
those questions. Just asking those questions that you posed. And
yes.
His answers were, "I don't know, I don't know, I don't know." And I've made the point of saying, I don't think that the superintendent of education here is very different from the other superintendents of education all over the state. I don't think they know either, and because it has not been tried anywhere. It has not been piloted anywhere, and there are no results because it hasn't been tried and piloted, there are no results for parents to examine. And that's rather embarrassing for them to say, but, you know, parents assume that educators would use a standard procedure that they wouldn't dare introduce something to their children that has not been tried and tested and found to be successful.
Right.
It's outrageous. So, yeah, so we're asking those questions, but I love what you're doing. I love it, and we want you to come to Alabama, absolutely.
Great. Well, we would be more than happy to come. And I have to tell you, you know, there's this big battle going on in Texas. We're in that primary season, and one of our elected official, he's our sitting lieutenant governor, David Dewhurst, who, it's funny, I joke, I worked very hard against him to make sure he was not elected to the U.S. Senate because he was running against Ted Cruz. And thankfully, Ted Cruz won that race.
Yes.
But there is something to be humbled by the grassroots as an elected official, and still to be in a position of power and to be running again. I believe after meeting with the lieutenant governor, he has completely revamped his staff, and those who were consulting him, and I've met with his education policy people, and I feel very comfortable that even if they don't agree with everything or understand it, they are beginning to see the big picture because we're asking these questions and trying to hold people accountable. And so he is going to be working with us. We're actually filming a video tomorrow, a Can I See video, and so we will definitely be sharing that video with you. But we would love it to have a Can I See elected official or candidate in every single state carrying this banner, kind of like Ted Cruz did with the Make DC Listen. You know, when he put that out there, you had all of the, I know it was across the country, you had all of these elected officials, many of whom are running in the primaries, Republicans, you know, put out infographics and press releases saying, oh, we stand with Ted Cruz, to make D.C. listen. If we can have, you know, these a strong elected official or candidate in every state who's willing to get on this Can I See campaign, I think we can make it go national in a big, big way. And what's interesting, I'm just going to share my little dream with you that I shared with a political consultant today. I said, my dream would be, you know, when Ted Cruz put out the Make DC Listen, David Dewhurst, the sitting lieutenant governor that ran against him, put out a press release and an infographic and said, I stand with Ted Cruz, Make DC Listen. That's pretty humbling. I would love for Ted Cruz to put out a press release and a infographic that says, I stand with Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst.
Oh, awesome,
and I see. Because that is a symbol of saying these two men are working for the people, because it's not about them, because they are humble enough to give another man credit when he does good.
Oh, that is perfect. I love it, Miss Barbara. That's got to be a win-win, you know, if
it
you
really
will
does.
Just do what's right. Wow.
Work together. We've got to work together. Alice, I want to ask you something.
Yeah.
You know, the polls are showing that at least 60% of the people, or 60% of those polled, say, you know, throw all the bums out. And I'm wondering, with Ted Cruz and his valiant stand, his courage, his willingness to do what's right, even if he's the only one doing what's right. Well, anyway, people are supporting him, and I'm wondering if it might not be the time to propose term limits amendment and balanced budget amendment together, state by state,
if a couple of states would get on board with this and do the three-fourths and propose in their legislatures, their state legislatures, and two-thirds of the states would come together and do this, you know, we could. Do you think this time might be at least approaching the right time?
It may be. It may be. You know, the actually, Pat Caddell would be someone I would love. I would love to come on the show after this event in South Carolina when I have some time with Pat Caddell. Actually, to pose that question to several people like him who have seen movements and strategies and things like that work or and things like that fail, to get his take on it. We are in transformational times right now. So, you know, it's very interesting because there's a candidate out of West Texas, Elaine Hayes. She's wonderful. She's a brilliant woman, and she's running against Max Thornberry, who's been a congressman for you know, one of her grassroots activists that came to one of my trainings said he was in Congress before I was born. And I thought that was, and he ran on term limits. Yes. So I think we are in transformational times. So if there was ever a time where it could be accomplished, I think now is the time. What that strategy looks like of doing that, I'd love to, you know, debate that and hash that out. I think that it's an interesting, we're in interesting times, and you know, many times it's a few people that come up with a great idea or that are willing to put themselves out there like a Ted Cruz that fundamentally transform our nation. That's how we were built. And so,
well, let me put something in there since y'all are making this. How about this one? Get rid of the Department of Ed.
Yeah.
I think we've had time to learn our members. I think right now it's resonating.
We could do that. We could do that, and particularly we could do that if this happened. I want to say one more thing before we leave the topic of amendments for term limits and balanced budget. I think Texas should lead the way. Texas is the all-American state, and it's big, it's bold, you know, And they could lead the way, and I believe there are many states that would get on board if they would. So when you're talking with whomever you talk with, that would be my request, that Texas would lead the way, and I believe that others would follow the great state of Texas.
Well, let me give you a little insight on some things that are going on the ground in Texas, because we do have, you know, Ted Cruz, who is a hero. We also have Louie Gohmert, who is...
Oh, yes, I love him.
He's wonderful. Oh. Well, here's what's interesting.
Yes.
There's a big push on the ground in Texas to get Louie Gohmert to run against John Cornyn and replace him in the Senate. And that could be a good idea. I'm going to an event on the 19th where that will probably be discussed. But there's another candidate running, Dwayne Stovall, who's a pure grassroots candidate. He doesn't have a lot of money, but he is brilliant, and he's brilliant on the Constitution, and he's brilliant on federalism and understanding the Constitution and states' rights. What will be interesting to see is we've got some of these people who, like you said, are in Texas and could lead the charge to make a huge difference. So I think, you know, after this event on the 19th, I'll know more about Louis Gohmert. There's also some other information, because then there's people on the ground who are saying that Boehner may not be coming back, may not even be running again, and that speaker position in the House could be up for grabs. And there are people that are pushing for Louis Gohmert to not run for Senate to replace Cornyn, but run for Speaker of the House.
Yes. Yeah. He would be awesome.
He would be awesome. Yes. So that's what, and I'll tell you, after the 19th, I'll have some one-on-one, or on the 19th, I'll have some one-on-one time with him and hopefully be able to ask him some of these questions. He's one of those people that I trust to give me a solid, honest answer of what was possible and what could happen and where he could serve the people of Texas and the people of our nation. But be looking for Louis Gohmert. I think whether he moves to the Senate or there becomes a push for him as Speaker of the House. And then if that were to happen, that changes the whole dynamics. Then anything is possible.
I'm impressed with him, too. I saw him talking,
hey,
and I thought, oh, it's awesome. Hi, Michelle, go ahead.
Do you remember? He is the one who stood with John Bernard when they were talking about the rules of engagement, and they had a press conference there in D.C. Do you remember what I'm talking about? Yes, he stood with John Bernard and the other parents who had lost children in the war.
Yeah, you would love John Bernard, Alice. He lost his son killed in action in September 2009, killed in action in Dahan, Afghanistan. And he really wrote, 2 weeks prior to his son's death, he wrote about, you know, what he knew was going to happen with our men because of the strategy, you know, and you all, he wrote a, oh my goodness, we need to get to you, which you already know it because I've seen the Blaze and they did talk about Stephen Coughlin, but John Bernard wrote an incredible piece about the mole that was in the, I think the Department of Defense, that really removed the Stephen Coughlin study that should have been used to form our strategy. So that was a really great piece that John Bernard said. But he'd been talking about the coin strategy, how wrong it was in, a long time ago before, you know, and then unfortunately, you know, his son was killed due to an ambush because his men pretty much had to back away. You know, whenever there's a civilians around, they pretty much have to back away from the scene. And so, and they were converged upon and ambushed. The enemy knew that was going to happen, and he lost his son. So he's been our War on Terror expert, and he's so good to come on every 2 weeks. But I'd love to have him on with you because, you know, I think he would just be fascinated by, you know, what you're doing. It's exactly what needs to be done, which is he's very concerned about Common Core. And I'm so glad, Alice, that you have, you know, that's a problem that all our eyes are not really going on. But now I am excited because Alabama has got a conference coming up. Is it the 26th, Ms. Barbara, with our Republican women? Yeah. We have a really wonderful Elois Zena is the head of our Republican women's group in Alabama. And she has been incredible. She was, believe it or not, Alice, the first one to draft a resolution to get all of us out of Common Core. She was behind the national, National Federation of Republican Women passing a resolution
about Common Core, which, you know, started the ball rolling. So, but anyway, food for thought.
Right. That's great.
Yeah, Diana, you remember also she had that, she had the resolution made up so that when we were going to have an executive committee meeting here in Houston County, and so she already had it. She faxed it. We went to the meeting, you know, unanimously passed, and we were the first in the state of Alabama to, as an executive committee, to pass that resolution against Common Core and asked the Board of Education to reject it. And then every county did the same thing. So every county in the state of Alabama unanimously, with their executive committees, Republican committees, voted against Common Core in the only way they could, through resolution.
The only problem, though, Alice, is we have emperors in our legislature.
Yes.
You've got to help us remove them. But I was going to say about the Orange Beach meeting, we have got, what is her name, Gabrielle, I cannot think, Bridget Gabrielle, that's coming, and she's going to talk about that. She's coming, yes. She's going to wake us up about that issue. So there is going to be, you know, an emphasis on that, which we're grateful about. So, and you're doing that too. But, yeah, give us some tips, Alice, on what we can do with our legislature. They come in force. Well, they come in, around, I think, late January or February. And right now, you know, we're putting out all the information that we can. You know, we saw, you probably saw the heckling that was done to the commissioner in New York. Did you see that by chance already? The heckling that was done when he was going to do a presentation? Oh, and I'm thinking, I'm posting that everywhere because I'm thinking, I want to help you, Mr. Legislator or Miss Legislator. Keep your job. Get smart on this issue.
Right.
But anyway.
Right. Well, it's time to get them to move to our side when they're running in the primary. You know, this is the time to really hold their feet to the fire because they're willing to talk to us where sometimes in the past they weren't willing to talk to us.
Right. Good point.
Well, you're right. You're right. And I think, you know, if we've got to get it, all of us really have got to get rid of it in this, before the election, right? Because once the election's here, you know, these people might not be able to move. Well, should I say refuse to move? So really, we have to push between now and that next election, shouldn't we?
Right. Right. Definitely. Because now's the time that they're, and when you're, you know, when these local organizations are holding town halls and debates, Common Core needs to be the main issue. Education needs to be the main issues during this primary season. And that's one of the ways that we've been able to hold these elected officials' feet to the fire is they know when they go to a town hall, they're going to be asked about it. And so, you know, it's important to make this issue, we can make it a campaign issue.
Alice, do you have a list of your Can I See questions? I know you were going to draft some steps. Have you already been able to, you know, put those steps in some kind of a manual or something for us?
Yes. Actually, I have the document pulled up right now, and Meryl and I are working on it. It's going to the printer.
Awesome.
And so that we will have these books to take with us to South Carolina. And so we will have them, and hopefully I'm working with the guy that did our website for Voices in Power so that we can have it online as well.
Oh, good. We need that. I love it. Now, what are y'all, when those questions are asked there, what are the teachers saying in return to those questions?
You know, teachers are the ones who are really in a hard, hard place because they are the ones who, you know, have tried so well. They're the ones stuck with having to use this curriculum because it's their curriculum products. That's the whole thing behind this. There are people that have agendas, yes, but there are also people who are making millions and millions of dollars off of curriculum management systems, off of curriculum products. And the teachers are the ones being forced to use these. And if you don't mind me taking a few minutes, I would love to read to you a poem that I actually read on the Women on the Wall radio show this morning. And I think it says a lot about our teachers and what they are what they're having to go through. And actually, I just tried to pull it up and it wasn't there. Oh, hold on. I'll have to find it real quick. I'll keep talking while I'm looking.
While you're looking, let me ask you. Go ahead. I was going to say, while you're looking, I'm going to just mention something to you. I think I asked you a while back if I could have a certain person on the show. I've not contacted that person, and I've almost forgot, Alice, what it was, but I was just surfing the Internet, and I thought, I'll listen to some of Alice's, you know, and it was so fantastic. Thank you. I listened to about two, almost three at one sitting. It was so great. So I just encourage everybody to go to Women on the Wall and Voices in Power. Their podcasts are wonderful, so much good information. But now, I think, do you remember who it was I was requesting for you to enable us to go and talk? I think he was talking about the history. It was something like Ames. Is it Ames? Okay.
Bill Ames.
And it was something to do with history, I believe.
Right. And he's actually Bill Ames. He's a wonderful man. And he's written a book that, because he was one of the leaders when we were fighting for the social studies standards here in Texas, and he was one of those heroes that was in the review panel and went toe-to-toe with the left, and he is in large part one of the people that fought so that we have the solid, as Donna says, type one philosophy of education standards in Texas. And so Bill Ames was one of those ones who fought for our social studies and our history standards, and so he's got a great book out, but he's got a lot of information, and he goes in his local area in East Dallas and goes into the schools and talks to kids, and that's probably the podcast that you listened to was where he was talking. He goes and sees the kids and talks to them, and then goes and testifies in front of the school board, the local school board, and holds them accountable.
Oh yeah, that's what it was. It was really good.
Yes.
Well,
wow.
Now let me. I found this poem and I want to read this to you.
Oh good.
Because it. And I started crying when I was reading it this morning on our radio show. So if I start crying, you'll just have to.
Oh, no.
Them.
I'll be joining you. Oh, no.
Okay. True. Skies of blue have turned to gray. The schoolhouse doors are locked and chained. But there within, to much surprise, staring out are saddened eyes. No longer free to play on swings. Obedience comes when the bell rings. No time for play. No time for fun. Take your seat, then log on. Tender smiles once so bright. Long now gone and replaced with fright. A test today, no time for sun. The teacher cries, her class undone. She reckons back to not long ago, to days when there was no sorrow. Smiles and laughter ruled each day, but all of that has gone away. For now it has come to pass, the beauty of what was her class, the written word long read with desire, shrouded in shadows, too far from the fire. Yet once again she must lead the way and help the innocent through the day. They do not know, they can't understand, the tears she hides, tissue in hand. A deep breath in, a smile put on, she turns to them as if nothing's wrong. Come now, class, let us begin. She gathers her strength from deep within. There it is, much to her surprise, the desire to learn behind wakening eyes. Chatter fades by a hand raised in question. Sweet young minds all paying attention. Today I will teach, she says to herself. As she closes the book, puts it back on the shelf. No packets today, no prepackaged lessons. From her heart, she shall teach. Now class is in session. Laughter and smiles and lots of good questions, right and wrong answers, all filled with intention. To learn, they yearn. It all falls into place. She sees her life's work on each smiling face. Joy has returned to this cinder block room. There is no trace of yesterday's gloom. Chains fall from the door. The clouds part above. No test today. Today is for love. Outside the door, there, where no one can see, the principal stands hesitantly. As he looks in, he remembers the time when he stood where she is, feeling sublime. He draws his hand back away from the door, and now he remembers what school's really for. Not testing, not drills, not race to the top, no Common Core madness. This all has to stop. Back to the office, he races with glee. No, where in his mind does he think AYP? He presses the button on the PA. Good morning, he shouts. I have something to say. Put down your pencils. Please close your books. Everyone listen with inquisitive looks. You've all worked so hard and you've all done so well. I have a surprise. Should I say? Should I tell? An answer is heard, a resounding yes. Are you all sure? Would you rather guess? The children all shout and no fills the halls. We're going outside. Let's play one and all. Back in the class, the children all scream. Is it for real? Is it a dream? They gather their jackets and grab up the toys. The girls, they all giggle and roar from the boy and roars from the boys. The teacher, she smiles and let loose her tears. That they are for love, not one drop of fear. In all the hall, she asks them, what is all this? A thank you, of course, for you, my dear miss. Out in the schoolyard, this is where I lose it, sorry. Out in the schoolyard, the children all play, the girls skipping rope while the boys save the day. The teachers look on and gaze all around, surprise in their eyes at the joys that abound. The principal says, you're younger than me, so I thought it important that all of you see. The tough times have changed in our little school. One thing is not the most precious rule. Our students are children. And this is their way to run and to laugh and to learn best from play. For here they all practice the things that you teach, that the stars in the skies all are within reach. So today there's no test, no quizzes, or speech. For today it is I, whom did you teach? There's more to the school than reports to the board. Now we take back our school and worry no more. Today is the day in the sun. And that's what we're giving up.
Oh, Alice, that's beautiful. And yes, you have us crying. I'm sure Miss Barbara is too. I know I am. You know, my husband tells me. Well, he knows me. I can't help it. But, you know, that's what's so really maddening about this. Had the enemy come after us, it wouldn't be as bad. But they're coming after the children, which makes it more difficult for us and, of course, harder to fight because we have to fight smart, you know, because we want to protect the child.
And so, but that poem is so beautiful. I think myself, that's, you know, when I talk to somebody, what I think of Alice is, I said, you know, I would rather do what I do, which is to fight, not get much sleep. I've got bags under my eyes, you know, not eating right. You know how you skip meals when you're in a hurry. And I'd rather do that because, and I've told my husband, you know, I really can't stand the thought of a child, you know, right before that box, that computer box, and there's
right.
nobody to defend him. You know.
Right.
We know that's what it's about. It's about manipulation of that child. That child is alone in his mind. Mama and daddy's not there. It used to be the teacher was there, but now the teacher's not even there for the child. And so, you know, it's really very heartbreaking. But I think because it is so something that draws up so much emotion in you, in me, in so many moms and dads, I think it's going to be a tsunami that they're not going to be able to contain. I really think our legislators are going to have to get it right. Because the one thing I don't think I know, and I believe you don't know either, you probably got it worse than I do, Alice, is the word Q-U-I-T.
That's right.
That's Barbara,
right.
What are your thoughts? I'm sorry, Alice. She's not all right. She's still recovering. Go ahead, Alice.
Well,
you're going to say
I'll tell
something.
You what. The tears have been flowing. I mean, that just speaks totally to the heart about what's been going on. And it is, there has been a darkness that has descended upon our land with this Common Core. And it reminded me then, too, of what Winston Churchill said after World War II, that an iron curtain has descended upon our world. And you know, this is like that. It's but we know that the wall came down, don't we? It didn't seem possible that the wall in East Germany would ever come down. No one could believe that was ever possible, and yet. It came down. Mr. Gorbachev tore down this wall. That wall was torn down, and the Iron Curtain was lifted. And, you know, we have hope. We have hope. But I tell you what, it is a darkness. It is a darkness that has descended upon our land with this, with what they're doing to our children and our country. But how can we get a copy of that poem and post it on the website and
I will send you a copy of it, and you can go to, and I'm sure, Diane, I know you're probably friends with Michael Bohr. You know, that is Michael Bohr from the Badass Teachers, or Badass
Oh, did he write
Association.
That?
That's who wrote that.
You know what?
Oh.
I can believe it came from Michael because I heard him when he first came on the show and did an interview, and you could just feel his heart. It was hurting for his children. And what
right.
a beautiful poem. I love it. I have to thank you. And thank you for reading it, Alice. That was just and that's what we're dealing with. You know, we're dealing with heartbroken parents, heartbroken that they're seeing their children heartbroken. You know, just like that common, whoever wrote that, clinical social worker that wrote that about what's going on, and I'm sure you've read that one too, Alice. You know, I was, have you had a chance to read that one, Alice? From the clinical social worker? Oh my goodness, there's another one you have got to read, Alice, because it's, when I was at a fair, a harvest festival this weekend, that was my opening line. I don't know if it's because I've worked for human resources and that just really resonates with me, but I put that in because I'm thinking to myself, this is the fruit or the rotten fruit
of this Common Core, and she's a social worker that's been working at this since 1995. And she says, all of a sudden, I my phone doesn't stop ringing. She says, we've got children that are self-mutilating. She says, a large number of honor students, mostly eighth graders, were streaming into her practice. They were self-mutilating, cutting themselves with sharp objects and burning themselves with cigarettes. My phone never stopped ringing. She says, what was prompting this increase? And then she talked about, she also started getting calls from elementary school students who were refusing to go to school. They said they felt stupid. School was too hard. They were throwing tantrums, begging to stay home, even to the, a lot of them were having, just sick to their stomach and vomiting. And so she started, getting more and more of these. And some of the things, that she also listed on this letter, and this was a letter to her assemblyman. She said, last spring, a six-year-old who encountered a multiplication sign on the NWEA first-grade math exam asked the teacher what it was. The teacher was not allowed to help that child, told him to just do his best. From that point on, that student's test performance went downhill. Not only couldn't the student shake off the unfamiliar symbol, he also couldn't believe his teacher would not help him. So it's crushing the children. Here's an entire third-grade class that spent the rest of the day sodding after just one testing session. A second grader who witnessed this and is now refusing to attend a third grade, this seven-year-old, is now being evaluated for psychotropic medication just to go to school. A six-year-old who came home crying because in September of the first grade, she did not know what a vertex was. Two eight-year-olds who adopted out of the ELA exam and were publicly denied cookies when the teacher gave them the rest during the third grade class. So, crazy things. And here is one, a mother, who had to leave for work because her child is hysterical over his math homework, and his CPA grandfather doesn't even understand it. Now, there's even one where it was said that the child had tried to commit suicide.
Wow.
And let's see if I can find that one, because this is it. This is our legislators really need to get this letter too, because this is from experience. This woman gave her name. She did not mind giving her name and, made this plea for them to please, we don't have time to see if Common Core is the, to develop a correlation study or whatever. These children have got major problems. So anyway, I've read that one, and that one's just added to my concern. So I blogged about it today and put in some steps, because I'm thinking to myself, it's really a tsunami of problems, and the only way I think we can fix it is a tsunami of parents who are very concerned.
You are exactly right, and I truly believe, when we're talking to the Lieutenant Governor about being the KNIC, taking on that KNIC campaign, one of the things that we talked about is that the narrative of coming from him as an elected official and a candidate is to say, I can't fix this. Just like Ted Cruz did with the Make D.C. Listen. He said, look, this is so bad here in Washington. The corruption is so bad. I cannot do this without you. And to me, that's the message, is this cannot be fixed through legislation. This cannot be fixed by electing someone to save us. The only way this can be fixed is for moms and dads to go into their child's classroom, build a coalition with the teacher and with the local school district, and we take our schools back one school, one child at a time. That, and I'll tell you, Dr. Peg Lessig, I love to quote her. She, someone asked her, why is it all these women out fighting? on education and Common Core, and she said, you know, a man will stand in the line of fire for his child, and he will die for his child. A mother will kill. And it's that instinct in moms across this nation that will cause them to take action. When they go in there and they talk to the teacher and they say, can I see the curriculum? And understand that it's not the teacher who's teaching this to their child. The teacher's being forced to use this type of curriculum. And they will stop at nothing. I will stop at nothing to protect my child. And that's the kind of energy and power that we have as American mothers and fathers wake up and go into their child's classroom and take their school back.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. And you know, for the teachers that are listening, I had somebody that I think was very concerned about this, and she's going to pray about it. And, you know, I don't want to come across as mean to teachers because I understand. And just like your letter, you know, Michael understands. He knows that the teachers are, you know, their hearts are breaking. But now we do have some teachers that do not get it, and we met some of them last week, Miss Barbara. We had an occasion to go and have a debate, and three of them were principals, and one was a teacher, and Alice, they were as blind as could be. Mm. And Miss Barbara, you know, that was that other half that, you know, is really very, very troubling to me, because they were reading from a script. I've heard it before. So even though one was giving a very impassioned plea about Common Core, you know, it's like, I've heard that same spiel, you know, and you almost want to get vomit, because it's like, please don't give me that spiel. You act like you're so passionate about this thing. It's not coming from the heart. But now,
they're
the ones we have to deal with.
They have been trained, and they have, you know, I went in to talk to Governor Perry's education policy people. They've been completely, they've signed on to the whole Common Core philosophy of education, but they don't realize it because they call it a different name. They call it 21st century learning and Educate Texas, and they're doing it through STEM. But what they don't understand is that STEM, science, technology, English, and language, are in math. When you do just STEM and you're pushing STEM down at lower and lower and lower grades, just like we saw from I can't remember her name, the psychologist who did the American Principles
conference. Her name's hard to pronounce.
Right.
Meg.
And she was talking about that our children, a lot of the problem is that they are developmentally not ready for what's being pushed on them. You know, we're not allowing them to be children. And to learn through play, to learn through, yes, you want those fundamentals. And that's why it has to be done at the local area, at the local level, by parents and teachers and the people who are closest to those children. It can't come from, you know, grant money coming from a foundation that puts forth a curriculum program. And it's not to say that everything out there is bad either, but it's got to be parents and teachers working to find out what's the best curriculum for their local area.
Thank you, Alice.
Alice?
I think. Go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
Well, they were singing the praises of STEM also, and one particular principal was really referring to traditional education as the old way, and Common Core is the new way. Now, she didn't say that in so many words, you know, but that was obviously coming across really strong. In fact, several times she very disdainfully put down memorization and memorizing the multiplication tables and so forth as the old way, and you know, was very critical of how things have been done in the past with traditional education. But it was like old versus new, and we were not up on the latest and so forth. So it was all of that.
Well, and if you go back and you look, there is Sarah Brown Wessling, I think is her name. I read about her a while back, but she was the 2010 Teacher of the Year that Obama, celebrated and gave her Teacher of the Year. She runs the Teaching Channel. She's the host for the Teaching Channel that's teaching all these new young teachers about 21st century learning. And that she talks about that. There's a CNN interview of her, or not an interview, her speech, when her acceptance speech, and she talks about, it's a new way of teaching, and the teacher is the lead learner, basically. And she's bought into the whole, and she's pretty, she's articulate, she's sharp, and she's the one selling it to these young teachers. They're being sold a bill of goods.
Mm.
And her name is Sarah Brown Wessling, Wessling. And she's completely, and her mentor, one of her mentors is Linda Darling Hammond, by the way.
Well, Alice, I've got to get you on with somebody from Alaska. You know, Alaska is a non-common core state.
Yes.
And she's really been doing a lot of research on Linda Darling Hammond. So I'm going to have to get you on with her, because what they did in Alaska is they trained the teachers in Anchorage area, and then those teachers are going all over Alaska. But they are
crazy.
Common Core. Yeah, and unfortunately their governor's pushing it too, you know, he's... we're not Common Core, but then, yes, we are. So... we have a lot to fight, but I think this is when God shows himself so magnificent, because, you know, he orders our steps just like he's ordering you, your step. You're going to South Carolina. Did I hear there's a black gentleman, is it Tim Scott or somebody like that, that is speaking out on Common Core? It seems like it's a legislator for South Carolina that somebody mentioned.
I think that there is a candidate who's running against Lindsey Graham who may be there. He's not an elected official, but he's coming to our event in the Bluffton, South Carolina, close to Hilton Head.
Okay, now I'm looking at here. Tim Scott is a, if he's the same one, he is a junior U.S. Senator for South Carolina.
Senator.
And a former
appointed.
Okay, he is a former member of the U.S. House of Representatives for South Carolina's 1st Congressional District. And I heard, somebody told him, I think it was my husband that told me, that, hey, you've got to interview this man or get a hold of this man, because he is really talking against Common Core, so y'all need to look him up when you're there.
I need to look him up, yes. I need to make sure he's at our event.
Yeah, look into that. And I think there's also one from Kansas that we saw. My husband tells me about these, you know, just incredible people that he's hearing from. But we saw one that was interviewed by Francis and Friends. And it's a legislator from Kansas, Joe Somebody. But he's another one. He knows Common Core like the back of his hand, Alice. So I'm thinking, Lord, give us more people like that. I'm hoping, Miss Barbara, we find one in Alabama. I think we've got somebody in Alabama, but you know, we just really need to put the limelight on them. And because I think when they carry this issue, the whole state will get behind them. we've got to do what you all are doing, Alice. But God is good. Well, as long as I keep you more, it's late at night for you, and you do so much already. Cannot thank you enough. And in closing, Ms. Barbara, I know you already prayed in the beginning, so I'm going to go pray and just pray for Alice again. And Alice, please extend to Ms. Donna. I've requested an interview, and she's responded she will, so I'm going to schedule her. But we're excited about all that you Texas folks are doing for not just your state, but the country. But, you know, it's like this. I think we've got it that we're a family, you know.
Right.
That's one thing the other side doesn't understand. We are a family.
That's exactly right. And we have the truth on our side because God's leading the pack.
Incredible. Hey, Alice, I probably don't have time to tell you this, so I'll have to tell this to you later. But God showed me something about how he does take, he's pretty much gave me a lesson a couple weeks ago how not to give up, not to have my pity party, but just to keep on going because he's just around the corner. Ms. Barbara, I'm talking about my trip, to see Stormy O'Mardian, who wrote the series. Have you heard of the series, The Power of Praying series by Stormy O'Mardian?
No.
You need to go get that. Oh, my goodness, Alice. It is the most, the Bible is the words of the Bible in just kind of an easy-to-find form. Like if you want to pray for the mind of somebody, well, there's scriptures on the mind. If you want to pray for the way somebody talks, there's scriptures on about the talk. So it's just really awesome. And I've been using it for years, but more than ever I have seen, it's just, God just shows himself so magnificent. So I'm going to go ahead and close this in prayer. Ms. Barbara, do you want to say something else to our friend Alice before she goes?
Well, Alice, I just want to thank you so much and also mention that something Diana did not mention is that she wrote a prayer journal that is so very helpful. I use mine regularly. And it has spaces for you to write your prayer needs and the prayer needs of others. And it has scripture. And it's a wonderful, wonderful tool to use in our walk with the Lord. And I'm sure Diana would get you one of those if you were interested.
I love it.
And guess what the name of it is, Alice? It's called City on a Hill Prayer Journal.
I love it.
Well, God is good. I'm just really, I've been doing it for years, and he is so faithful. So I'm just going to just end this in prayer and thank God. Dear Heavenly Father, we just love you for who you are. You're just, Lord, you're such a magnificent God. Who is man that you love us so much, Lord, that you gave your son to die on the cross? And you said for us to ask, and it shall be given you, seek, and you shall find, knock, and the door will be open. Lord, I just pray a blessing for Michael Bohr and that beautiful poem. It was a heart poem, Lord. Lord, I just pray that that poem goes all over, Lord, this nation, Lord, that every parent would read it, every teacher, every principal, that it would do what it needs to do, which is, Lord, to convict us, Lord, that we need to fight for these children, Lord, that it would move the teacher to do what's right and pleasing in your sight, that it would move the principal, Lord, to do what's right and pleasing, Lord. I'm sure, Lord, that they would rather be on your side than on the other side, because you said, Lord, it is better to hang a millstone around your neck and be thrown to the depth of the sea than to leave this little one to stumble. And, Lord, when we see the words of that clinical social worker that says children are cutting themselves, I mean, we hear that with Jackie's child that, Lord, could have got killed running out in the streets, Lord, running out in the street to get away from the school that he used to love. Lord, we stand against the enemy that seeks to kill, steal, and destroy the joy of these children who are the joy of us, Lord, the parents and grandparents that love them so much. And Lord, we thank you that you, Lord, did not withhold that good thing, not even your son. So, Lord, you said to ask if it be thy will, it shall be done. So I pray for your blessing, Lord, upon everything that Alice is doing, Lord. She is helping the little children, Lord, to be allowed to come, to be trained up the way they need to be. So I just pray that you would supernaturally bless the work of her hands, Lord, and the people that's working with her. I pray for supernatural, uncommon favor for her in every state that she goes to, most especially in her state. And, Lord, and that this one in South Carolina will just be incredible, that people will hear about it, and they will want to come, and they will partner, and that they will be filled, Lord, with the wisdom and the knowledge of what to do in their own child's school, Lord, that, Lord, they will be empowered. Lord, we just thank you so much because you said in your word to ask you for wisdom and you will give it to us liberally. So we ask that right now. Alice is asking that, I know, Lord, and so is Miss Barbara and me and all the listeners. I pray, Lord, that you would grant us, Lord, the wisdom that only comes from you, Lord. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do, Lord. We thank you in advance for the parents, Lord, that it's going to be moved to stand in the gap for their children and for, Lord, for the pastors, Lord. Lord, I believe that your pastors, Lord, are going to hear from you. We're asking, Lord, that you would let them have dreams and visions, that their hearts will be prepared for their church family to come before them and ask them to allow the truth to be heard by the flock. And Heavenly Father, just as in the scripture that I turned just now, Heavenly Father, as it said in Mark 11, Lord, it says, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're doing this, tell him the Lord needs it. And Lord, I just pray that these pastors will be like that, that the people will tell them that the Lord has need of them and that they will do what needs to be done, Lord. And, Lord, we just thank you. This is a time, Lord, for asking you great things because you are a great God. And, Lord, please forgive me for not having asked more of you. Please forgive us, Lord, when we've not walked in faith, Lord, like we should because, Lord, you're right there. Lord, you're just a moment away, so help us not to grow weary of doing good. Help us to get strength from you, Lord. I thank you for your word that says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So as we work, Lord, and be about your business, we ask that you please put a hedge of protection around our families, Lord, around our friends, Lord. Help us not to be distracted, Lord. Help us to be focused on the things you want us to do while you are taking care of them also because they are in the palm of your hand. So, Lord, we just thank you. We ask for blessing for Ted Cruz, for Lou Gomer, Lord, for all the others, Lord, that's going to be helping us, for Tim Scott or whoever that is, Lord, that's in the state of South Carolina, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We ask also, Lord, for our own legislators here in our own state, Lord, that they will come on board and be with parents, Lord, in removing Common Core. And, Lord, we know that we will give you all the glory and honor and praise for this, Lord, because it will not be through us, Lord. It will be through you. You said not by power nor by might, but by thy spirit. So we thank you, Lord, and we love you. And we ask these things in Jesus' mighty and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Wonderful.
Well, thank you, Alice. I think I've covered almost all of it.
You're wonderful.
Well, you know, God is good. God is good that he has got us together for such a time as this. And we're making newer friends, you know, Alice. I think...
you know, the good thing about this is it's like we've got friends, you know, Miss Barbara, everywhere now. You know, Alice is there in Texas, and she's got friends in New York and California. You know, the enemy doesn't realize what he's done, which is really united.
Right.
I think it's uniting the body.
Right. I think you're exactly right.
Mm.
It's wonderful.
Well, Alice, it is wonderful, and God is good, and before we start singing, we better let you go.
Okay.
For the listeners, and Alice, if you don't want to post that poem on my page, just post it on there for me if you don't mind. And I posted the link to the clinical social worker. I posted that on your page, too. So now we've got it. So anyway, we'll talk to you next month, and
yes.
Be glad to hear a report on what happened in South Carolina.
Great. I will report. Okay.
Well,
Ms.
Barbara, I'll
week.
Let you have the last word. Thank you, Alice. Go ahead, Ms. Barbara, if you don't mind.
Oh, what a wonderful program tonight. I'm so grateful. And I love the Can I See campaign. I can see it spreading like wildfire all over this country. And, you know, we're really going to be able to use this to make a difference in our local schools. Oh, praise God. Well, listeners, thank you for joining us this evening. Share this podcast with your family, with your friends, for those neighbors you've been talking to and coworkers. Share this so they can become better informed and then more involved. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. And may God bless America. Thank you for joining us at City on a Hill Radio Show. Good night.